Hello, internets, and welcome to Ninja Consultant Show 35.
Episode 38.
This is 35.
So. Wiki.
We said we were going to do a show about the AWA AMVs, the AMVs we saw at Anime Week in Atlanta. But you've been listening to an Anime Week in Atlanta show for like 6 weeks now,
As
I haven't put out new episodes.
And I wonder why.
Dragged that one recording out. Could it be that I was studying for the Japanese language proficiency test, which is given in several places over the country and all over the world? I took the lowest level.
Oh, and wait.
What?
The answer is yes.
Huh?
Yes, it could be.
The what?
That's what you've been doing.
Oh, yeah. I've been studying for the Japanese language proficiency test. It's also, my job is wrapping up. The show that I work on is over. It's not being renewed. And we've been working on the end of show special and a crossover special. And at the end of this episode, I will reveal which show that I work on, because I'm no longer in danger I'm no longer in danger of being totally fired. Just partially fired. They'll demand my paychecks back. Also, I've come to the conclusion that part of the reason that I don't tell people what show I work on is because you could just read the credits, find that I'm the only person with my first name listed, and easily then look up my personal website and my personal LiveJournal page. I don't really care if you do that. The only trouble is if my name starts showing up in Google results related only to this podcast, which is an amateurish venture. I don't want people in television to listen to my podcast and be like, she knows nothing about sound. Good Lord, her parents wasted a pricey education sending her to a school with a perfectly fine sound program. Anyway, the point of this story is we just finished watching The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, which the internets has been a buzz about.
It's true.
It took us a long time to watch because the first couple episodes are really off-putting, where Haruhi is like stripping down her best friend in a pseudo-rape type situation, which made both Mo and I very uncomfortable. So we really put off watching the end. But I kept hearing about it all over the internet. Blah, blah, it's so good, yada, yada. So we finally watched the end, because it's only 13 episodes or whatever, so.
And so here's the thing. We expect that you have also not only heard it, but watched the entire show.
We suspect this much. A lot of our listeners are probably too young to have watched this. I don't know if it's appropriate for
Speaking of young listeners, you should say hello to Eriday.
Hello, Eriday.
We miss you.
I met Eriday at Manga Next.
I miss you.
And it was totally cool.
I didn't
cool.
get to meet you.
No,
I'm
I didn't
sorry.
Get to meet her.
I was really bummed.
Yeah.
And I had to go up to
CedaCon
to Utica, New York.
The big scandal is that Eriday thought that Allison was like super old, like older than me, like well into her 30s.
Yeah.
Ooh, dis. Allison is like 2 or 3 years younger than me, turns out. Anyhow. And
she
I got
thought you were what, like 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Eriday was at the con with her two friends who are not nerds at all.
That con
they
being Mung
like,
Next?
Yeah. That was Eriday's first con, and her two friends looked like the cool people in school, and they looked totally miserable to be around a bunch of nerds. I told them that they were quite good friends to come to their nerdy friend's event, even though they were obviously extremely uncomfortable. I don't know if that made them more comfortable. I don't think it helped.
Probably not.
No. And yes, that one kid, Jack, who asked us, did we know that Del Rey does regular books? He's left us like 60 more voicemails, many of them decrying how I have not read enough.
Hi, this is Jack again. Aaron, you're wrong. I read Del Rey books, and I haven't read a single piece of Del Rey manga. Don't call me a noob for that, though, because you waited until college to read Ender's Game. That qualifies you as a noob. Any questions? Goodbye.
That may be correct, but I passed that time when it was okay to read Piers Anthony books.
It's amazing, though, how time expands as you get older, because I'm sure that for Jack, it's like every 2 or 3 minutes, it's like a really long time. It's a really long time since we last mentioned his name or his email. It's a really long time since we last put out a show.
Oh, yeah.
And now for me, like 2 or 3 minutes, that's just enough time for me to look at my watch. And I find the days fly by. Can you believe I'm almost 30?
Yeah, Noah's going to turn...
Would it be el guapo that you are mad at me because you are turning 30? Actually, it's... El guapo is turning 40. Turning almost 30.
As far as I can tell, as soon as you turn 30, it's like you blink and then you're 40.
Yep.
suckers.
And then you're cryogenically frozen.
Whoa.
And
then
it's all a blur.
Double suicide for both of us.
Hooray.
Romantic-oo.
Romantic-oo.
Romantic-oo. And the only super milker. Anyway, I promised several people, Allison and I will eventually do a show where she talks about Avatar, because oh my god, Avatar, OMGZ, squee, Avatar.
Yeah.
No and I have not caught up on Avatar. We've not seen the second season finale, blah, blah. We've heard it's really good. Paul from Hawaii says it's super great. And yes, we all need to watch Avatar. Fine, I will watch Avatar, I promise. But I've been studying for this test. I've not had time. But I did learn like 40 kanji or something.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It might not be 40.
And you did not utterly fail.
I may have utterly failed.
May have utterly failed.
It only takes like a 50 or something to pass. I think I got 40.
So imagine this.
Uh-huh.
You take a super hard test.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait 4 months to find out
if you
passed.
Yeah, we don't get the results until March.
How much would that suck?
A lot. So me and Noah are going to be in Japan, I want to remind everyone, from December 26th, even though we are leaving on the 25th, which is a very long flight. And we'll return to the United States on January 16th.
That sounds right.
But we will be out of New York City from December 16th through January 21st.
That's correct.
And so, podcasts will be few and far between.
I hope
to get some kind of like, I didn't mention this to you, but I want to get one of those little microphones for the iPod, like that randomization kit had.
Yeah, that was super awesome. And it only cost 4,000 moltons.
I think it cost like 30 or 40 bucks.
No, I'm sure.
Anyway, you only have an iPod mini. It doesn't have a lot of memory. But we can like record tiny segments. Or maybe when we pick up a cell phone in Japan, we can just call our voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
Although that might be international long distance. We could buy a Skype phone in Akiba and like Skype ourselves.
I guess we could. Then I could Skype in for D&D. What do you think of that?
It's up to you, dude. That'd be awesome if you called your D&D game from Hot Spring, and you're like sitting out in Hot Spring. You're like, I roll for initiative. Look, there's a monkey in here.
Pretty awesome. Speaking of D&D, I've been slacking off, and instead of watching 10 hours of anime over the weekend, I watched 10 hours of the old Dungeons & Dragons cartoon.
Oh yeah, it got pretty good by disc 3.
It turns out, because I remember that as a kid, I remember it was pretty good. And I watched the first disc, and it was a pile of crap. And I was really disappointed.
There were animation mistakes, direction mistakes.
It was terrible.
The writing
people's
was really
heads.
Bad. It was drawn off model.
It was drawn off model, which means...
it means like the characters aren't drawn proportionally the way that they would be. If they were drawn correctly, they were drawn on model.
Sometimes it looks as though the characters were approaching the event horizon of a black hole, and they were long and stretched out. And sometimes they all looked like hobbits.
Except
when they actually met a hobbit, but it turned out he was Venger.
Really telling animation mistake that just says that the production is kind of crap is when there's foot sliding. That's when the characters are walking in a walk cycle and the background is not match and their feet kind of slide. That happened a couple times.
It's pretty embarrassing. Possibly not as bad as that rapping dog on Titanic.
Nothing beats that.
But
with different people on different walk cycles. And
it was still pretty bad.
Yeah.
Although, when you put a purple worm in there, you got me.
You've got Noah for...
That's
you
basically
got me
all I need.
You had me at purple?
You had me at... No. You had me at worm.
Anyway.
Haha, only
so. So the melancholy of Iruhi Suzumiya, if you've been living under a rock, or you're one of our friends who only listen to this show in order to hear our voices and don't actually know what anime is, it turns out that The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya became super famous in Japan, even though it was only shown on a UHF station in, I think, Kyoto or Osaka, where a lot of people in Japan don't have cable. A lot of stations are not very national. One of my friends who's in the JET program was saying how she was surprised when she went to a different region in Japan. She turned on the TV, and there were all these really local shows, like, filmed in the local dialect of that area, and she could no longer understand television. It was very shocking. It's not like she went to Osaka. We all know Osakans have a ridiculous accent.
We all know that they have TV station
from
Battle Athletes.
She just went, like, yeah, that's true as well. She just went the next, like, province over, like, the next state over, and it was totally different TV. In America, we get a lot more nationalized programs, especially on broadcast television. Anyway, the point of this is, YouTube got huge in Japan, bigger even than in the United States, because I think people have more reliable internet connections or something.
Mm.
So someone did a parody on YouTube of the end credits of Haruhi Suzumiya, which have the characters doing this little dance, interspersed between the end credits. And someone did a parody involving stop-motion kind of Gundam models. And I think that video got huge. And then a lot of people were like, oh, what show is this? I've never heard of this. And then they all watched it also on YouTube. And then Japan realized, we have a big problem that our TV is all being put on YouTube. So they started forming committees of people whose job it was just to watch YouTube and to take their shows down.
Good luck with that, suckers.
This is before YouTube got bought by Google, which was a little while ago now, but now it got bought by Google. One listener of ours wrote to us and was like, dude, they're going to take all this anime off of YouTube, and that's how I've been watching anime. And then I wrote back to him with a lot of smug emails, because finally, me, someone who really got into anime when it came into the DigiSub era, I had someone to look down upon, whereas previously, people who were tape traders always looked down on the DigiSubbers because it's so much easier to watch stuff on BitTorrent than it is to get VHS tapes traded physically with people. And then, like, the people before VHS tape traders who watched things raw, they could always look down on tape traders. Like, you had fan subs? That is weak.
Yeah.
And so now, someone who came into it with BitTorrent, finally had someone to look down upon and be like, YouTube, you don't even know how to install BitTorrent. Furthermore, one of our listeners wrote in and asked how to use BitTorrent. And the next person who asked me that, I'll tell you, but it'll cost you $2. Because that's how much I think the information is worth, and that's how much of my time I will spend telling you. So that is my consultant fee, and that is what I'm telling you.
Perfectly fair.
Even if your shows get taken down off of YouTube, it's still very easy to find everything, even licensed things on torrents. But you need to install at least two programs first. And for $2, I will tell you so what the BitTorrent, those programs are. Or you can find out yourself.
The BitTorrent generation is going to look down on the YouTube generation.
I already do.
The YouTube generation is going to look down on the video iPod generation. The video iPod generation is going to look down on the heads-up display on your eyeball generation.
I think YouTube is easier than using video iPod, because video iPod has a specific format that you have to save things in. And if you understand formats, you probably already know how to use BitTorrent.
Wow.
Yeah, Noah doesn't know anything.
Developers.
There was an AMV set to that song at AWA that pretty much named everyone on animemusicvideos.org in a kind of, it was very insider-ish AMV. The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya is based on a novel, a prose novel, which I'm sure I would like to read based on the show. However, maybe some things are lost. Who knows? It's a show that messes with your head. It's about this girl, Haruhi Suzumiya, who, on the first day of class in high school, stands up and says, I am not interested in talking to normal people. If you are an alien, if you have ESP, if you're a time traveler, come and talk to me. Otherwise, not interested.
Right.
And yet, for some reason, she does bother to talk to the guy sitting just ahead of her in class. And he puts up with her shenanigans, and basically she acts like bitch and pushes everyone around. She forms a club of people who just happen to be an alien, a time traveler, and what they call an Esper.
You're totally...
Spoilers, spoilers, oh my...
No, forget
about
the spoilers. You're totally pitching this in the wrong way.
Really?
Right.
Okay, you pitch
it. Now, here's the problem. We're summarizing the show, but we expect you've already seen the whole thing.
Well, I expect there are some people like my mother who only heard of YouTube like 2 weeks ago.
Right. So this summary is for your mom.
Hi, Mom. Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah, happy birthday. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Her birthday's only like 4 days after yours, dude.
Oh, don't tell the internet that. Oh, now everyone knows my birthday.
I know.
So, Haruhi is this incredibly weird girl, and she wants to have an incredibly exciting life. And as we all know too well, by the age of 30... life is lived in the ordinary and not the extraordinary, which is why I play D&D. So she finds that her everyday life is extremely dull, establishes an organization, a club in school, to seek out mysteries, explode myths, and investigate strange goings-on.
Engage in manga-esque plots.
Little does she know that as the number of club members increases in number, so too do the number of... First, there's a robot. Not really a robot.
She's a data creature.
Then, there's a time traveler. Then...
A sexy time traveler.
Yeah, sexy
but it's
time
not,
traveler.
It's not the new Doctor Who. Sorry, Will.
Then, an Esper.
Okay, can I insert here that It's well established in Kimigori Orange Road, which is popular here, and probably a lot of other Japanese things we're not aware of, that instead of just saying so-and-so has ESP in the American version, the Japanese have conveniently shortened it to saying Esper.
Right.
Which they actually pronounce like that within the show. So we're not acting crazy. We're saying someone has ESP.
But Haruhi herself doesn't know this. Who knows this? In fact, Haruhi is not the protagonist of the show, despite the fact that it bears her name. The poor guy who sits, in front of her? Who's just this guy? What's his name? Kyon?
Kyon. That's their
name. Or at least that's what they call him. He kind of wants to have your average everyday life. But as this, I don't know if this qualifies as a fish out of water story. I guess so, since he's your average, ordinary guy. But once Haruhi starts talking to him and drags him into this club, he discovers that all kinds of crazy things are going on. So, in very short order, these other club members reveal to him that they are there to keep Haruhi happy because Haruhi controls the universe. Now, I was not immediately taken with this show.
But you don't really find that out until, like, the second to last episode. The whole series takes place ridiculously out of order to the point where the first episode is a film that the kids made in their high school class. Therefore, it's as if the high school kids made a really high-concept, low-production-value production. So that throws off a lot of people who have tried to watch the series. They're like, the first episode is shit. What's with this, like, bad animation? And by that, they mean there are a lot of camera scratches, like, superimposed over the top in order to make it look bad on purpose, which is very obvious. I don't think a lot of the internet actually knows what good animation quality is. And I don't think without some training you can really identify what the difference is between stylized and animation mistakes.
I don't know, because I think a certain portion of fandom really is enamored. No, that, well, yes, they're in high school and maybe they don't know because they haven't seen enough. But a lot of, I think, a certain portion of fandom is really enamored of very old style animation.
Enamored of it. Like, yeah. They like it?
Yeah.
Maybe like you've never been like on the internet, but a lot of reviews just say, I can't stand this older style of animation.
Right.
Or anime clubs that won't watch original things of stuff because it looks too old.
Leaving those people aside.
That's a majority.
All right. Leaving a majority aside, there are people who really dig that old, scratchy
look. This cell-painted look.
Yeah. Well, cell painting is one thing.
Yeah, but that really adds a lot. Where the
it's crap.
Before 2000, everything is now painted digitally. There aren't plastic cells with actual physical paint on them. But when there were, you get this very different feel to the animation because all this dust can get stuck on the cell and some poor sap has to paint each individual one and things are always just a little bit off. You can't do as much with the colors. So it's more incredible when you actually do. Nowadays, it's a bunch of crazy electronic nonsense.
Yeah, you just point and click.
Yeah.
You type in the number of the color you want.
Yeah, it's like paint my numbers.
And
we saw the color department at Rough Draft. They looked like really angry World of Warcraft players. It was all girls. I don't know why girls between the ages of 18 and 24 would be exclusively painting SpongeBob electronic cells. But there they were, and they looked really mad.
Like, yeah.
SpongeBob having those skinny, skinny legs was pissing them off. And the one time I did color something in animation for some commercial, it was pretty difficult. Like, you'd think you could just kind of click on an area to fill it. No, it's still bullshit where you have to, like, make sure the area's closed, and it seemed really hard.
It's difficult, but anybody can do it.
And you have to do it for each cell. It's not like you can assign a color to SpongeBob's leg and it follows through. You have to make sure you sit there and color it for every single frame. So it's still better than paint, because you don't have to hang the paint up dry. Oh my god, so I heard this animation story?
Yeah.
About when Allison started working on the show that we work on. One of the other older people there was really concerned about her having liquids on the desk. He was just like, you don't do that. Put it somewhere else. Don't have that liquid on the same desk as your computer. Seems like regular logic, but where he was coming from was when he worked painting comic book pages with actual paint. They had this eraser stuff that would essentially just dissolve paint, and it only took one small knock to knock over the bottle of eraser fluid, and you could just watch it spread and dissolve and erase your entire page as if you'd never painted anything.
Wow.
And you couldn't stop it. So, and that's like days worth of work.
Yeah.
There's no undo.
It's like a screensaver for your mind.
No, it's like breaking your mind. That's your painting. So Noah totally hated Haruhi Suzumi in the beginning.
Yeah, I was really put off by it.
And I was kind of put off by the way that the time travel chick who has very bouncy breasts in the opening, so you can't mistake who she is. Breasts don't bounce that way, kids. It's almost like she was like a rape victim in hentai, where she just has this very like, oh no, attitude and a high-pitched voice and no real personality. And later you get to know a little more about her character or whatever and why she's so passive. But at first I assumed she was just a parody of a hentai character.
Yeah.
And I found that really disturbing.
Yeah.
And I found it disturbing that a lot of younger people were watching it and being like, I love this show. And I'm like, what, with this pseudo-rape? Way to go,
yeah,
kids. And also, a lot of early episodes parody different genres of anime. So it starts off seeming like a parody genre show.
Or
like Magical Shopping Arcade Abenoshi.
Right.
Abenobashi.
Abenobashi. Well, according to Aaron, if you log on to 4chan, which I've never done.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to log in. It's anonymous.
All right. It doesn't matter. That just proves my point, doesn't it? My point being that if you log on, by which I mean you point your browser there, mm-hmm. or whatever, the Haruhi Suzumiya, more like this, please. That's what they say.
M-O-A-R.
M-A-W-R.
Anyway, more. So that's Haruhi Suzumiya. Did you have... Oh, we were watching the Nodame Cantabile live-action show. It's based on a manga, which is widely available here in the United States, up to volume 8. Published by Del Rey.
Apparently very popular on the manga cast.
Yeah.
Manga cast.
The manga cast, that's all those guys talk about. It's like all talking about Beck and Nodame Cantabile and Iron Walk John. All things that you should be reading. And even I am not reading Iron Walk John because I really like the first two volumes, but DR Master just sends me random volumes from the middle of the series every once in a while. So it's like, I have volumes 18, 23, 31.
Isn't the hijinks excruciating, though?
What?
The hijinks.
Iron Walk John?
Yeah.
No, it's great.
No.
There's one scene that someone posted on this obscure manga live journal thing where he's like, he's got a bunch of quails hung upside down, and he's got their throats slit, and he's collecting the blood to make an obscure kind of blood dish for Chinese cooking. He fought a bear, man.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, you should,
whatever.
You should read
Baki
it before
fought
you just,
a bear.
Yeah, but not for cooking purposes.
I disagree. You may recall.
He did eat it.
I guess. Baki fought that bear, he then immediately ate it. The whole thing.
But did he cook it in a delicious manner?
No, he ate it raw because Baki could kick Iron Walk John's ass.
Well, Baki could kick anyone's ass. That's kind of the point.
Not at cooking.
Cooking Chinese style. It's very important.
Nodame Cantabile
is about a girl who acts like a crazy cat. Not in a literal way. She's not a cat.
Your alarm's going off.
You're right.
Yeah. The listeners at home, they can hear that. You're wearing like 9 watches. What gives?
Two watches. I'm a watch thief. We'll wrap up this show so I can go to bed. And maybe we'll talk about Nodame Cantabile another time. In the meanwhile, you should watch it. It's filled with hot guys and crazy girls. And all right, there's one hot guy and then a crazy guy. And
he's a timpani player.
It's live action. It's very hilarious. But they're also coming out with an anime of that soon. So I don't know. The live action show has really captured my heart. I'm not really sure if an anime could do the same.
No, we'll strangely see. Enough, it's, I think... At least I'm convinced at this point that the hijinks that comes across in the live action show you couldn't do as well
in anime.
In anime,
we watched live action Nana in anime now. All right, do you have any closing things before I reveal my big secret?
We're going to Japan. Don't forget that that's where we're going.
Yeah, and if you we have a lot of Filler Arc T-shirts and Ninja Consultant T-shirts.
Oh!
If you'd like to fund our trip to
it.
Japan,
that's it. The Filler Arc.
The filler arc is ending. Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, it's not. The filler arc is continuing forever.
Noah is very
upset.
And
a new season
is
starting.
What they're doing a new series called Naruto Hurricane Chronicles, which takes place after the filler arc. And we have definite evidence of this because it was in Shonen Jump Magazine Japan, and one of our listeners scanned in the pages and gave it to us. Noah is really annoyed that the series has a different title. I think after...
I'm not annoyed that it has a new title. I mean, I am.
I think...
But I am annoyed that it has a crappy title. They could have called it...
Maybe it sounds
cooler
in Japanese.
Naruto... Pound Puppy Adventures Under the Sea.
Whoa.
And...
Nobody remembers Pound Puppies, except for our over 30 listeners. Anyway.
That's not my point. My point is, it sounds like crap.
I think after the horribleness of the filler arc, you need to rebrand the show to say... It's definitely over to the point where it's a new series. Because they've killed the old series. And this was necessary. But Noah thinks it'll be like a Dragon Ball Z thing, an inferior show.
It's only going to get worse.
All right.
It's not fair. It's not fair at all. How could they do this?
All right, so the show that I work on is called Codename Kids Next Door. It airs on Cartoon Network.
What?
What did you think I worked on?
Toonami.
No, I don't work for Toonami. There's someone else. Okay, it's called Codename Kids Next Door. It's on Cartoon Network. We're wrapping up production on season 6 and doing a show ending special. That's also the show that Allison works on. And if you have any plot questions, you should direct them to Allison. Because although she started off as an intern, she eventually wrote a couple episodes of the show. And she runs the blog about the show. So you can also ask her questions there. Your comments will be screened. And at some point, I'll do a whole episode where I talk about how cartoons are made from my experience, especially American cartoons. I should also point out that we don't live in Atlanta, obviously, because Cartoon Network is my company's client. So we deliver the episodes to them. And indeed, the voice actors don't live in New York either. They live in Los Angeles, where the show is recorded over a teleconference call. The animation is done in Korea at Rough Draft Korea Studios, which I think I've actually mentioned before. So only part of the show, that would be the storyboards, the designs, the color models, and the post-production, are done in New York. Everything else shipped off elsewhere.
Isn't it awesome that we live in the future?
How do you mean?
I think yes.
Because we can outsource to other countries on a regular basis?
Yeah, it's
pretty cool. And if FTP sites always work correct, my production doesn't even use FTP sites. Like, they sometimes FTP some sounds. Like, we draw storyboards on paper still and use a photocopier and tape and white out. But the other new productions at the studio I work at, which includes Little Einsteins, which I worked on for about a month, they draw things directly into Flash and FTP storyboards to their clients. Although I was surprised when I worked on the show, even though it was a totally electronic production, when it is drawing on paper nonsense, still they make huge copies of storyboards to ship to the client because, you know, God only knows they want to read it on paper. And then if you have an extremely detailed digital background, it's not easy.
And your sheet timer can live in Australia.
There is no sheet timer in Flash because
I don't mean for Little Einsteins. I mean for K&D.
Oh, for K&D, yeah, the sheet timers live. And explaining what sheet timing is largely irrelevant in modern productions. We had a sheet timer who lived on an island off the coast of Spain, and one who lived in California, and one who lived in Australia. The guy who lived on in the island off the coast of Spain, from Ireland.
Isn't it awesome to live in the future?
All right, I guess that's it. Closing thoughts?
Developers, 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 developers.
Developers, developers.